We'll call the House Conference Committee back to order out of recess. And so we have before us Senator Daines with the H-0005A33 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. So now, Senator Daines, if you'd move the 37 amendment.
37 or 34?
Mr.
Chair, I'll move the
H-37
amendment.
Senator Daines moves the H-0005A37 amendment. So let's have a walkthrough for Ms. Pompeo as to where we're at. Oh, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And I'll have the A33 amendment as amended by the A37 amendment, and Ms. Pompeo will describe the A33 amendment as amended.
Chairs and members, on the A37 amendment, line 1.3 makes a change to page 4 of the A33 amendment. It provides that the board can adjust the payment parameters to the extent necessary to secure federal approval of the state innovation waiver that we're requesting in Section 8. On to line 1.7, this makes a change to page 8 of the A33 amendment, and this provides a new section 6. Subdivision 1 includes the same language as was previously in section 6. However, subdivision 2 moves a paragraph that was previously in the state innovation waiver section into this new section 6, and that provides that funds received by the Commissioner of Commerce or other state agency pursuant to the state innovation waiver are deposited in the premium security plan account. And then if you go to subdivision 3 of the A37 amendment, this provides that funds received by the Commissioner of Commerce or another state agency pursuant to the state innovation waiver that are attributable to the basic health program are deposited in the basic health plan trust account in the federal fund. And then on to page 2 of the A37 amendment. This makes a change to page 9 of the A33 in that we have a new section 8, the state innovation waiver section. This removes paragraphs from prior section 8. Otherwise, the subdivision 2 and subdivision 3 are the same, with the exception that the Commissioner of Commerce is now required to submit the waiver by June 15, 2017, and it must be open for comment by May 15, 2017. And then on to line 2.20 of the A37 amendment. It reads intent of the legislature, and this new section provides that if the state innovation waiver request in Section 8 is not approved, the Minnesota Conference of Health Association and its board shall not administer the Minnesota Premium Security Plan and provide reinsurance payments to eligible health carriers.
Mr. Chair, do you want to take comments as we go through this?
I prefer to have her go through the bill and then come. If you make a note, we'll come right back to you.
Yep.
And then on to line 2.26 of the A37 amendment. This deletes section 10 and inserts a section regarding payment parameters for 2018. And the substantive change to this would be on page 3 of the A37 amendment, and that it repeats that language that the Board of Directors of the Minnesota Conference of Health Association can alter the payment parameters to the extent necessary to secure approval of the state innovation waiver in section 8. And then on to line 3.5 of the A37 amendment. This affects the transfers from the Healthcare Access Fund and from the General Fund and makes the transfers contingent on federal approval of the state innovation waiver. The Commissioner of Commerce informs the reviser when that federal approval is obtained. On to line 3.10 of the A37 amendment. This fixes up the effective dates so that all sections, with the exception of the transfer section, are effective the day following final enactment. And then on to line 3.12 of the A37 amendment, 3.11 of the A37 amendment, it makes a change to Article 2 of the A33 involving Senate File 1 and inserts and advance.
Okay, members, it would be my intention to, at this point, take questions from members on the bill as amended, and then we will go into if there's any amendments. I do have one, and I think there's some others, and then we'll have it wrapped up with comments from members, and then we will take a vote on the bill. So, Senator Lurie.
Mr. Chair, on the A37 amendment, line 2, page 2, line 20, intent of the legislature, that title doesn't actually capture what's happening there, and intent of the legislature is a term of art, you know, that we should encompass what the intent of the legislature is within our language and not have a title that says this is the intent of the legislature. I think Mr. Stang had a suggested change that I think was...
Mr. Stang?
Mr. Chairman and members, perhaps we can incorporate the amendment. Instead of intent of the legislature, say premium security plan contingent on federal waiver.
It's got a nice ring to it.
Is that your motion, Senator Lurie?
That's my motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay. Questions on 37? Chair Benson.
Mr. Chair, I was actually going to offer an amendment, but Senator Abler is here and so can speak for himself. Thank you.
Let's go to Senator Halverson, or Representative Halverson. You had a question?
That was covered.
Oh, okay. Senator Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I didn't know there were going to change, so I was... The Capitol is a wonderful place to tourist them. There's a big rally going on. Did you know that? Anyway, I would have
invited...
It was secret. It was a secret meeting. It was a secret rally.
Mr. Chair, I wasn't invited either for the record.
We must be twins separated from birth. Possibly. Okay, Senator Abler.
Thank you. I have this amendment, then I have a question.
Sure.
Maybe it's already covered in this, but the bulk of this has to do with this five... patients or clients, whatever, with autism that are still being served. This would allow them to continue to be served until their need expires or through 2018. And I think this might also have to do with how quick the money goes. Is that incorporated in this, Mr. Stang, as well? Is that
Mr. Stang?
I'm sorry. Is the first part of this amendment have to do with the how quickly the money gets transferred out?
Senator Abler, Mr. Stang? Chair Benson.
It's not out. I'll move to 824. I'm sorry, Mr.
Chair. Chairman Abler moves the SCH 0005824 amendment. To the amendment, Chair Benson.
No, I just didn't have it in front of me. And
okay. It was moved. I thought it was out. I apologize, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Okay, to your amendment, sir.
And the heart of the amendment is to make sure that services for the five remaining enrollees are available until their need expires or until the end of 2018, which seemed like a reasonable time frame to make sure that they were squared away. This is if you recall, the MCI used to serve autism kids to a great extent, and now they're moved wherever they went, so except for these five. And then in the talking, and I don't, this is my question, and then there was some discussion about if... sending the $35 million out was interactive with something else, and this would make it clear that that would be right away no matter what other dates are effective. I believe that this does that as well. I think it's friendly and technical, but I think it accomplishes the intent of our committee.
Okay, questions for members?
Mr. Stang was nodding, so let the record show. He nodded.
Could you nod on the record?
Yep, Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The A37, I think, had this Section 11 deposit of funds contingent on the federal waiver, so it wouldn't be effective until some time out in the future. And this amendment, other than the reference to the autism and retaining funds for that, also makes it immediately effective which I think the other amendment already did, but this makes it clear that this is immediately effective.
Questions for members? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Abler, for bringing this forward. These are important people to make sure we continue to care for. Do we? Is there a sense of the fiscal impact on this?
Mr. Chair,
Senator Abler.
I have a sense there is, but I don't. but I. This is. Anyway, so the department suggested this was what they're doing now, but this, and they've been doing it by quarterly increments. And so this is the end of MCHA, as we know it. These are the last residues. I'm sure they could comment on how the math works. I believe it does work, but I can't tell you more than that.
Please state your name and who represents for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Peter Brickwitty from the Commerce Department. Representative Halverson, this would allow MCHA to retain money that is the bill otherwise directs the association to transfer to the reinsurance account in order to continue to pay for those for the contractual obligations involving these families. So there would be no state impact to this language.
Okay. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other comments from members? Senator Abler renews his motion to amend with the SCH-0005A24 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Okay. Are there other amendments? And then we will have time for members to make comments.
Mr. Chair, I have the A22 amendment I'd like to move, and I will. I know that we need to get this bill moving. I think people would be upset if I didn't at least offer the Minnesota Care buy-in.
Okay, just a second. Senator Lori, do we have that amendment?
Not yet.
I don't have
it. Mr. I believe it's technical.
It's just a technical
in nature.
No. And so I won't belabor it. We've been through this a few times, but I think it's important to say, you know, I think this would actually work really well in conjunction with reinsurance. It's not to disrupt your reinsurance. It's to enhance reinsurance and to make sure that we have access to a product in every corner of the state, a product that has better networks, a product that pays for itself. Enrollees do pay the premiums for the full cost of this. And it's built on 25 years of bipartisan legislation making health care affordable, particularly in rural. So as changed from the initial governor's plan that I carried as well, a couple of things that I would point out in here. This is would only apply in regions outside the seven-county metro area so that it would leave the seven-county alone where there is more competition. That was in an attempt to try to, you know, compromise a little bit. There were some concerns around rates, and so it moves it to a base of Medicare rates for providers. There was still some concern. The concern amongst providers was that, you know, okay, well, we could take on a certain percentage of additional clients at these additional patients at these rates, but we think that this product would degrade small group market or take more of the individual market and decimate it. I don't think that's the case, but this also has a trigger if a larger percentage of a provider's payer mix than is anticipated were encountered, we would make payment adjustments to increase above Medicare rates for them to make up for missing the mark on the actuarial assumptions that we have. The actuarial assumptions are that in the greater Minnesota areas, this would attract about 85,000 enrollees, and the average premium would be about $421 per month. This would be a really competitive product. It would be a silver and a gold product line. This would leave certainly the bronze product at 60% actuarial value, which make up 56% of the market today. You know, it's still for carriers to compete on, and I think carriers would have an option to really still put out competitive products if they had good if they were able to build good networks, have some really good things that they could offer to actually compete, but in an environment where consumers had a guaranteed product offering at a good price, with a design built in the interest of consumers. I'll just leave it at that, and you know, ask for member support, though not really expected, I guess.
Okay, so Senator Lori moves the SCH-0005-822 amendment. Discussion to the amendment. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would just like to voice my support for Senator Lori's amendment. The problem that we're trying to solve with regard to getting stability into our markets is a big problem that needs a real comprehensive solution. And helping folks who are higher utilizers of health care find plans that they can access is an important piece of that puzzle, as is making sure that we're finding ways to balance that individual market to make sure that young and healthy people get in and start buying health care again. I agree with Senator Lori that the numbers that I've seen with regard to what premiums might be are not at that. We heard great testimony from agents with regard to kind of the magic number that starts drawing people out of the small group market, and these plan numbers do not hit that kind of magic number. So I think that it helps maintain integrity in the private market, but also provides more choices for people in greater Minnesota. So thanks, Senator Lori.
Discussion to the Lori amendment. Okay, to the Senator Lori moves the SCH-0005-822 amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Are there other amendments? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I have copies here. Thank you to the Quick Work of staff. That was kind of magical. I thought this might be an oral amendment. So, again, looking at, we've had a lot of potential pathways to get to reinsurance in Minnesota, and I have been a supporter of the notion of reinsurance to restabilize the marketplace. But I really want a plan that is going to get us where we need to go. And this.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, but we should have this amendment before us. So, Representative Halverson moves the H-0005-A36 amendment. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and the folks on the House side have seen this. We did have an informational hearing in the Commerce Committee on this bill. This bases reinsurance on the Alaska model. The federal government has been fairly supportive of states taking this road, taking a look at diseases, taking a look at where costs are really sitting within our healthcare system, and not only reinsuring and sharing risk with plans, which I think is important, but also making sure that we're working with providers to drive down those costs. We need a backstop. We need to make sure that we're not incentivizing additional spending by creating a reinsurance pool, but creating a backstop that's focused on cost containment. And so I put this forward in the spirit of making sure that we're moving reinsurance forward from, I think we've been talking in crisis management mode, but I think that this is an opportunity for Minnesota to really look at being the problem solvers that Minnesota is. And so that is my amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Senator Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the amendment. I noticed that it's effective January 2019, and one of the things I think is our responsibility after we get this moved out and maybe after session and maybe after we sleep a little bit is to come back and look at some best practices. I had talked with someone who talked about what if we do the Alaska model with co-insurance, even for the diseases and disorders that are set aside. So there's always skin in the game, and we work on cost containment. I think this can be part of an ongoing conversation. I think I'd just like to keep this bill clean. So it's not no, it's just can we come back in January and or March, whatever leadership decides, and have a plan to move forward based on biggest bang for the buck and what we see other states doing. So thank you for us.
Thank you, Senator Abler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And actually, I like this amendment a lot. One of the things I learned as a pre-kindergartner was I could count. And so I have a feeling this may not become a part of the conference report, but I'd like to have people, that's supposed to be a joke, Mr. Chair, you know how to count, too. 5 to 5 to die, I know that.
That's the way it works around here.
Yeah. But I would ask members to consider beyond, I know we want to get done, and there's language in the bill that has us address this topic in the middle as we see how it's beginning to unfold in the work group. But I think and I appreciate Representative Halverson bringing this forward because I think it is where you want to get to. And I understand the concern about the committee to get something done, but I, one of the staff at Medica brought to me this idea that with us for the first year, let's stand up something people understand. And as we move into this in a longer term, something like this makes a lot of sense. The exposure is much less. I just want to caution people, if we continue with the traditional reinsurance model that we have here, where it's retrospective, that the exposure to what it could cost would be the entire cost of the market. Because we can, people can adjust the indicators, the 50, the attachment points can go up and down, the percentages can go up and down. If we move toward an Alaska type model, the pool that we're going to be covering is actually finite. And it would be very expensive, at least it's a finite number compared to infinity and all the numbers. And so that's my gentle thought to the two chairs. And I hope you vote yes on the amendment. I think this is going to make this bill a lot better, Mr. Chairs, Mr. Chair. Whatever.
Thank you. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so I appreciate it, too. I appreciate the idea and the thoughtfulness. I don't think I have any question about that at all. But we do have the bill we're working on right now, which has a legislative work group. And in that work group, one of the assignments is to study the effectiveness of reinsurance models adopted in Alaska. You study the effectiveness of that reinsurance model before you actually put it into statute. So we already have a legislative work group, and I think we'll let them do it. And there may be other things to consider. There's other states. There's other options we may not know about yet. So let's let our legislative work group do what they can do well and then bring it back to us.
Discussion for members. Briefly, Commissioner Rothman.
Briefly, and Mike Rothman. I just want to echo the suggestions and the recommendations. I just wanted, as I testified before, say that this is my preferred method. I think that it's more effective. It's bigger bang for the buck. I think it can be done today and implemented this year. I don't think we need to study it, but I just wanted everybody to understand that I think this is the way Minnesota should be going now, and recognize the need to have further dialogue and understand all that. But I just wanted everybody to know we're committed to continuing to find the best way. And I thought it would be, and I do think this is a better way for the consumers. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. Questions for members?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Abler.
Back to my accounting ability. In the event this amendment doesn't pass, I hope that we can be open to this and not just be locked into where we're going into 2018, and I'm even more intrigued with the commissioner's comments. But sometimes we get stuck. We do it because we do it a certain way. But long term, I think our duty to the state and the options. If there's something better than this, I'm all for it. But I just want to encourage us, and I want to thank again the good representative for bringing this forward today.
Further discussion from members. Representative Helvers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for all the good feedback from members. I approached reinsurance when I started working on it with the goal that I wanted to do more than just stabilize the market. I wanted to start driving down premiums in the individual market, and Minnesota has made that happen in the past with our innovation. And this is something, I think, to Senator Kiffmeyer's point, that we can certainly look to other states. I kind of see this as an approach of the Minnesota spin on the Alaska model, and that we're really going to care a lot about cost containment down the road. And so it's something that I appreciate people continuing to take a look at, and that's all I've got to say.
Thank you. Other discussion from members? Okay, Representative Halverson renews her motion on the H0005A36 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion does not prevail. Are there any other amendments? Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair, I don't know. I could maybe use some help in approaching this, but as I've re-looked at the bill and we've been churning through discussions, one concern that keeps coming back is the board makeup, and I've appreciated Senator Lori's work to try to create a balanced board, but I do think that we have an opportunity to have a stronger public voice in terms of the appointees, And so I would like us to discuss one more time the makeup of the board and consider increasing the number of public directors and maybe dropping the number of members from the contributing members if folks are willing to discuss that and have thoughts about that.
Okay, so what's your amendment?
Well, and if staff has some thoughts, but my thought was to kind of flip this so that we have seven public directors and four directors selected by contributing members to have more public voice. And it can continue.
Alverson, could you get us an amendment?
Okay, Mr. Chair. I will move. I want to be sure that this my numbers work out here. But so, Mr. Chair, I would move on line 1.11 after the semicolon to delete 5 and add 7. And I'm doing this backwards, Mr. Chair. So if we go up to line 1.8 to delete the number 6 and replace it with the number 4. And I think that still leaves us 13 members on the board.
Ms. Bumpo, could you state the amendment for members?
Chair and members, on line 1.8, the amendment is to delete 6 and insert 4. And on line 1.11, the amendment is to delete 5 and insert 7.
Okay, comments from members? Senator Lloyd?
Mr. Chair, I too appreciate the amendment here that was adopted in our Senate, but I do think this would actually still be a really important improvement. I think that a more public makeup of this board would enhance this a great deal. I intend to support this. I have to kind of point out a little bit of the irony of the directors, be it 4 or be it 6 as it is today or right now, or 4 if this amendment is adopted, selected by contributing members. I mean, the whole premise of that was that they were actually the ones contributing the money to this fund, and that's not really the case anymore. So not even included in this amendment is this awkward language that harkens to a time when we funded this high-risk population with assessments on members, and they were contributing members. I'm going to support this amendment and do think that, particularly in the environment where we've changed the financing structure of this so that industry isn't even the one contributing, certainly they shouldn't have the lion's share of the membership to direct how this $542 million of public money is used.
Thank you, Senator Lloyd. Questions for members? Commissioner Rothman, briefly.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I just want to say I support the amendment. I have suggested it in committee for the reasons that were stated by the proponent and Senator Lloyd. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other comments for members or questions? So, for one more time, please, Ms. Pompeo, could you read what the amendment is? And Halverson moves.
Chair members, Representative Halverson moves on page 1, line 8, delete 6 and insert 4. And on page 1, line 11, delete 5 and insert 7.
Okay, do members understand the amendment? Senator Abler?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm not even sure I'm going to vote on this, but I'm kind of counting already. Would you be open to, like, 50-50 on this, like, just making it 5 and 5 and or whatever it be to just increase the representation a little bit?
Ms. Pompeo?
Chair members, in the current Section 1, there are 7 public directors because 5 are put forth by the Commissioner of Commerce. Two directors are selected by the Commissioner of Human Services, and so that is 7 public directors to 6 contributing member selected directors.
Okay, Senator Abler?
Well, so are you content with the way things are, or do you think any more?
It would be my preference, Senator Abler, to leave it the way it is.
Thank you.
And there are other committees out there going on, like right after we
a germ here that could make changes if they so desired. I prefer not to do it here, but I have but one vote. Senator Lurie.
To that point, yes, they're listed as public directors, but one of whom must be a licensed insurance agent, which is a part of industry. So, I mean, there's contributing members, but when I define industry, I have to put, the brokers sort of in the industry bucket when I compare industry versus consumer. And so 6 plus 1 is 7 on a 13-member board. Industry has a clear majority on this board.
And Mr. Chair.
Comments and questions? Senator Halverson.
And Mr. Chair, I certainly support industry having a voice on this. I think one of the things that's really important is the people who know how to pay for health care have a voice on this because they're managing it. But we also are managing millions and millions of dollars of public money that we are putting out there kind of with a whole lot of hope. A little bit of math and a whole lot of hope, and so that is the purpose for my amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Comments, Senator Abler.
So, Mr. Chair and the rest of the committee, in the event this amendment doesn't pass, I think the board members should know we're going to be keeping an eye on this and that we're very interested in the high intentions of this project going forward. And so I just wanted to offer that thought. Thank
and
you, Mr.
Senator
Chair.
Abler, I think you'll have plenty of opportunities down the road to adjust things if you so desire.
Mr. Chair, we have a 4-year term. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I've had a 25-year term. So, a little break in the middle there. It really hurt my feelings. 45 votes. Never say your vote doesn't count. Okay. So that being said, further discussion to the Halverson Amendment. Representative Halverson renews her motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion does not prevail. Okay, so if I was on that board, I wouldn't get too settled in. I think they may want to think about it, where their offices are. Okay, so that being said, are there any other amendments? Are there any other amendments? Any further discussion from members?
Mr. Chair?
Very Commissioner Rothman, what do you need?
Few minutes. I just wanted to chime in. There is a an amendment I'd like to at least the committee to consider.
You can't offer an amendment.
That's fine.
I move Commissioner Rothman's amendment.
Okay. Senator Lurie moves Commissioner Rothman's amendment.
Great.
To your amendment.
So Senator Lurie's amendment is to add the word modify to the original bill at line 5.1. So it would say approve, modify, or reject. The commissioner shall approve, modify, or reject the payment parameters no later than 14.
Page and line.
Discussion to the Lurie amendment.
Page 5, line 1, after the word approve, insert the word modify. So it would be the commissioner shall approve, modify, or reject the payment parameters. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Commissioner?
Well, Senator Lurie, I think your amendment basically guts the board. It makes the board worthless.
I think
so that's what it does. Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that might have been the intent, and I would encourage a no vote on this amendment.
Further discussion on the Lurie Amendment.
Mr.
Senator Benson.
Chair, what about recommend modifications?
What about
leave
it alone?
Reject, I'd say he should write a letter or something and tell him why he's rejecting it. But if he says, you know what, I kind of like this, but if you modified it a little bit, so if you'd like to consider that, Mr. Chair, but otherwise I would vote against the amendment.
Further discussion of Lurie amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest we leave the language the way it is. We do have a board, and the board shall come up with this. If the commissioner's office has some issues with it, they could certainly visit with the board, and I'm sure they can get it worked out. I don't think we have to put in the language to modify it because that takes away the strength of the board.
Further discussion to the Lurie Amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Abler.
And I'm kind of counting again in my head, but it seems to me that the effort on the behalf of the part of the commissioner is to have a more reasoned tool rather than just reject. I presume if they reject it, there'll be a letter, and so that would be implied, but that's all I have to offer.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Okay, Senator Lori renews his motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion does not prevail. Other amendments?
One.
That's really bad.
Are there other amendments?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Rothman.
Thank you. I have a letter from the governor that I'd like to have distributed to the committee, if we could.
Sure.
And then I'd like to speak to you.
Sure.
There's two originals in here for the chairs.
See.
Well, they've been working these kind of time.
I can speak. I can start or wait till everybody has a copy.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, the governor wrote this letter and wants you to know his thoughts currently on the state of the bill. These are really sort of echoing some of the same views and perspectives that he did at the start of the conference committee. But just to highlight and summarize them, he reiterates and points out a couple of things, that some of the concerns that he had raised earlier remain serious concerns. As well, he pointed out that some of the recommendations from the commissioners still have not been resolved. And to just highlight those, not to belabor them, the letter speaks for itself, and so does the governor. We'd like to highlight the fact that the conference committee report uses the Health Care Access Fund and the general fund to cover the state responsibility for reinsurance. He had indicated it preferred a tax on the industry itself, just like the old MSHA, as the preferred method. For reasons of not using or wisely spending the dollars, particularly the Health Care Access Fund dollars, and to make sure that those are spent for low-income folks and everything that it's dedicated to. Second of all, the governor has still not yet received the letters that he requested in a response from the insurance companies. That they would participate in the individual market and lowering premiums as a result of this reinsurance. And then, again, he has said from the beginning that his proposal for the Minnesota Care buy-in and those of the members and the amendment is necessary for increasing access, because reinsurance doesn't get us anything with respect to that. And then I do want to point out, just from my perspective, and some of the concerns I had indicated about the payment parameters. I had encouraged as large of payment parameters as we could to cover as much as we could to the extent we were going to do insurance. Second of all, I did prefer the Alaska model approach. It's important, I think. And I know that the committee just voted it and differs with respect to the power to modify. It's a standard power that the commissioner has, and I believe it's one that would have been consistent with what CMS was recommending. And then lastly, with respect to the reinsurance, I do believe it's imperative that we do incorporate cost control coordinated care efforts so that we properly and wisely spend the dollars. And then lastly, in terms of the concerns, I still harbor the concern that the board composition is inappropriate. There should be a weighted balance in favor of the public and consumers on the majority, and not that the board be run by insurers and industry members. That's a very serious concern of mine. And then just to wrap up, I do think, and I know it's a small matter, but I do greatly appreciate the amendment on autism. The six kids that need these services is absolutely critical. So without more, I just also want to say, to the extent we will continue to work together, that's our goal. And without further ado, I appreciate the time to give my comments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Final comments. Senator
Abraham. Well, Mr. Chair, I Well, these might be final comments if we're not careful. Senator Rothman, that was meant to be a compliment. Commissioner Rothman, is this bill at risk the way it stands?
Commissioner Rothman.
Mr. Chair and Senator, the letter speaks for itself and the governor speaks for himself, so I can't speak for him. So.
Senator Abler?
Well, I mean, it's...
Senator Abler, I'd be very surprised if this bill is at risk when all the work we did with the governor's office and CMS to put this together so that all parties agreed to this. So I'd be very doubtful if anything is going to happen. And to receive this letter at this hour is unfortunate.
Mr. Chair, I think that agreed to this was a bit of a overstatement, to say the least. I think that they were pretty clear that they were offering technical assistance to make sure that we weren't putting at risk the $490 million of federal money over the 24-month period. And that's a really good thing that we accomplished, and we got technical assistance from the administration to get that done.
Yes, Senator, I stand corrected. For the record. Yeah. Just to be clear, the governor's office spent a lot of time with us working on issues to make sure that we had this bill in order. They made no commitment one way or the other. That's correct. Senator Abler.
Mr. Chair, and I mean, the time for this discussion is now, so I hope that we don't feel like there's some... I mean, I know that our whole floor session is waiting, Finance Committee is waiting, and I had a granola bar for lunch, so it's pretty cool. But I think we should, in particular, follow up on the governor's second concern about the participation of the health plans. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't ask them to come down, all the three big ones in particular, and say, what are you thinking? And if they have a spokesman or if they want to speak as a group, and the answer that I hope they don't say is, we're still thinking about it. And so I think if they would give us some strong assurance, that would help, I think, just to make us feel confident. But I think of the three concerns, I don't think we can fix financing. I don't think we need Minnesota care. But I think for sure the thing about that they're going to participate is something we would want to know.
Senator Abler, we've had that testimony already in this conference committee.
Mr. Chair, we haven't seen the final version. So now we have a final version. They've been talking behind the scenes with us. At least one of them come down and just tell us if they're a little warmer than they were before or they're moving toward a commitment.
Very briefly, if someone from the industry could come down, make a few comments. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Catherine Kmit from the Minnesota Council of Health Plans.
Welcome to the committee.
I would just say that, first of all, thank you to the members of the committee and all of your staff for all of the hard work that you've done in putting this proposal together. It has been really an emotional roller coaster to move through this process, and I'm sure everybody is sick and tired of talking about health insurance. I know that I am. But I wanted to thank you for all of this. We are concerned a little bit with some of the language in here. It makes us very nervous about the contingency language. But as we have stated to the governor, through letters, as well as to leadership in both the House and the Senate, as well as to members of this committee, Minnesota's health plans are very committed to serving Minnesotans. They want to participate in this market, and this, because of a number of things that have happened both at the federal level as well as just consumer changes in the marketplace, have resulted in a market that is losing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars every year. So we very much appreciate what the state of Minnesota is doing here to provide this assistance to help to stabilize and sustain the individual market. And I guess I would end it there.
Senator Abler?
I appreciate the chair taking the time to have that testimony. Thank you very much.
If I could ask.
Senator Benson?
Mr. Chair, I was going to speak to the letter. These are issues the governor has continually raised. I think this letter is not a surprise and these things were considered and we tried to work them out, I think we need to move forward. We have produced the best product we could in the situation that we have, and I think the governor should review with consultation with his staff what we've put before, what we'll put before him should we prevail on the House and the Senate floor. The health plan's not providing a written response. They're still collecting claims data. They'll have some final understanding of what their market looks like even for this year, because they'll have everyone enrolled and they'll have some idea of how sick that population is. And so I can't think of a CEO of a company that would commit to something in that level of uncertainty, but they have all said their intent is to stay in Minnesota. This is where they built their business. This is where they want to be. And so I think we're doing the best that we can.
Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, we keep hearing that they're committed, but there's no commitment. I mean, it's a fine point, maybe, but there is a distinction between having a commitment in terms of, you know, claiming that they want to, but there's no commitment here. There's an intent to stay in Minnesota. You know, certainly, an individual market collapse doesn't mean that they close down and quit doing business. It means that they pull out of rural Minnesota counties. That's what it means. That's the commitment I'd like to see on the record somewhere. I mean, we have no promises whatsoever that, and maybe what I'll just do is I'll do my closing comments now, because these are part of those. And so I really want to thank the chairs and the committee for working hard to get a full contingency language embedded in here, so that we're not putting, you know, almost all of the Minnesota taxpayer money that we dedicate to this purpose at risk of losing it to the feds. I mean, that would have just been an irresponsible use of public funds, and that has been largely corrected with this, and I really think that is a tremendous improvement, and I appreciate being involved in that. The board was improved, but still it is a clear industry majority deciding how public money is distributed to industry. I have a significant problem with that, and it's not a small amount of public money. It's $542 million committed in here. And there's no promises, not even a written response to the governor's request. And I think they, you know, we're within a couple of weeks of having to file the first version of rates. I mean, they have to have a pretty good idea of what this looks like if we adopt this. I mean, we're close on the heels. It's unfathomable that they don't know. And silence in that context speaks volumes to me. I'm very skeptical as to whether this is going to roll out, and we're going to have coverage in every corner of this state. And we had an option before us just a few minutes ago that would have guaranteed coverage in every corner. And then the use of the healthcare access fund, dedicated to that it's intended to be dedicated to the support of lower income Minnesotans' access to affordable and quality healthcare, removes accountability from the structure of this reinsurance package. I want to reiterate, I've said many times, I'm not opposed to the mechanism of reinsurance. I think this particular approach leaves some real flaws. Number one, in the financing, using the healthcare access fund removes accountability. And by removing that accountability, there's really no incentives to control costs. For high-cost providers, the insurers don't really have any skin in the game. Once it hits a threshold, the state's picking up the tab, 80 cents on the dollar, for these high-cost claims. And it just doesn't provide the right incentives to an already profit-driven industry that really needs our help to put in a regulatory structure that embeds some cost-saving and cost-containment measures as we move forward. So, respectfully, I am going to be voting no on the bill, but I'm going to leave my comments at that for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Lurie. Other comments from members?
Senator Abler?
Well, just that one last one. I appreciate the chair indulging my request for the testimony. I just want to offer one final thought, actually, to the commissioner and to the governor. I'm going to be supporting this strongly. I hope that they recognize that the letter that they put out, the governor just wrote now, is much shorter than the letter that was written before. I think the chairs and the staff have gone a long ways to recognizing the concerns. Is this bill perfect? I think no one at the table admits it's perfect. I think we admit that it's timely, and I just want to point out to the governor as well that it's, I think that the chairs and the staff have worked respectfully and trying to move as far as they can go within the parameters that they can toward that position. There's no jamming of anything. There's no untoward policy in here. I've seen efforts to move in a positive direction all along, and so on behalf of myself and the committee who's going to be supporting this, I hope that this gets signed and we can move forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other comments from members? Representative Halverson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I definitely want to thank all the participants for working out the waiver language that puts a lot of federal money at risk for our state, and the fact that got worked out, I think, is a real victory and a testament to how willing everybody was to work. I continue to have concerns, many of which Senator Lurie had raised, but using the Healthcare Access Fund money continues to be a concern for me. I think that at the end of the day, this bill needs to be about consumers and making sure that consumers are able to be in the market, are able to get the care that they need. And we need to make sure that all consumers, no matter which part of the market that they are in, whether they're in a public market or a private market, are finding more stability. And the fact that we are going to see a sunset of funding to the Healthcare Access Fund within a couple of years really, I think, creates an additional question of stability for our public markets. And frankly, the Healthcare Access Fund has been vitally important to Minnesota, having some of the lowest uninsured rates in the nation prior to the ACA. And since, we need to make sure that we have those dollars available, particularly with the questions that we're facing in Washington with what may or may not be available to the people of Minnesota. And Minnesota has never left their consumers behind with health care. We've always made health care for all Minnesotans a priority. And so introducing additional instability while we balance one part of the market to me is quite concerning, and I wanted to bring that forward.
Further discussion from members? Chair Hockey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm assuming that you were going to do this, and so I'm just jumping right in front of you. But, you know, the members here are the ones that have been speaking, and we're the ones that are going to get the credit or the blame. But there are a lot of people in this room that worked really hard on it. A lot of the people in the audience have spent a lot of time on this. But I want to take a moment to thank our staff, John and Brian and Laurie and Kelly and Holly, who's not here, and all of the Senate, Mr. Stang and Adam, and all of our staff here, partisan, nonpartisan, House and Senate. They put in a lot more time and effort than we do, and we couldn't do this. You know, the mistakes that I think are left in here, I'll take the credit for or the blame for, but we couldn't do it without our staff, so thank you to them.
Thank you, Chair Hoppe. Further discussion? Senator Dames?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd just like to also thank first of all the members here and the folks that worked very hard on this, but really want to thank our staff, the House staff, and on the Senate side, Adam and Tim and Wendy and Chris have done a lot of hard work on this, spent a lot of time on it. And I want to thank the fellow legislators for their work on this, and I know that there's some questions about some of the things in the bill and stuff, and I understand that, and I think that through the conference committee meetings we've had, we've been able to draw a stronger bill, and so I think we're in pretty good shape here, and just want to thank everybody for their hard work.
Thank you, Senator Dames, and I'd just like to wrap up with, I'm going to thank Chelsea Whitman. This is what I'm going to thank. And everyone else. We can't forget Chelsea here. And I would really like to thank the governor's staff. I would echo exactly what Chair Hoppe and Chair Dames have said, but I think in the last 24 hours, Senator Lurie and Senator Benson, I mean everybody, Representative Halverson, working with the governor's office to coordinate some things with CMS is like a really big deal. And while this bill may not be perfect, the alternative is not good. I don't want to put Commissioner Rothman through what he went through in 2017. And I think this bill will help him. And I think it'll help. I think there'll be more companies coming in. And I think you'll see, hopefully, rates lower, but I'm not going to guarantee that. Who knows? But with that, I thank everyone for all their hard work on this one. And this one was a heavy lift. So I want to personally thank Senator Abler, Senator Lori, Senator Kiffmeyer and Benson, Senator Dames, Representative Halverson, Schumacher, Joe Hoppe, or excuse me, Chairman Hoppe, Chairman Bean, and for putting this together. I think it's a good bill. It's not perfect. There's some things that may be changed along the way, but we have to get this going. So the rates, this needs to be signed in law by the governor so that companies can set their rates. I really believe if this bill isn't signed by the governor, I don't think we have a market for 2018. I think it's that serious. So I'd appreciate your support on this bill, Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And with that, I will move to adopt the A33 as amended as the conference report.
Senator Dames moves the A33 amendment as the conference report. Further discussion?
As amended.
As amended. Thank you. Thank you. As amended. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, members and staff. We are adjourned. Good government all the time. We are adjourned.